It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog.
Okay, cool. So let's begin. Welcome to the podcast. I'd like to welcome my guests. Will you please introduce yourself to everyone?
Well, my name is Adri Somolino. And yeah, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome.
I'm so excited.
How long have we even known each other?
It's been a while. Like 10 years maybe?
I want to say that. I'm trying to remember the first time I met you.
At the Knitting Factory, right?
Probably. I just remember being like, oh my God, she's so gorgeous.
I was probably thinking the same.
Good answer. Good answer. I appreciate that. So let's just get right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into yoga?
Wow. Well, I first started as a dancer. So, I mean, my entire childhood, adolescent years, I was dancing and that was life. And I developed some injuries and yeah, I kind of had to take a turn, and that got me into rehabbing and just, you know, really starting to focus on how I can continue my, you know, physical expression, because that's how I love to express myself.
How old are you when you got injured?
Oh, it was first year of college, so at 19.
Okay.
Yeah. I had just gotten on mainline too at BSU and just totally tore my ACL, MCL, meniscus.
Oh my gosh, what's mainline?
It's the dance team for BSU.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was like the only reason I wanted to go to college too, was to just dance. So
wow.
Yeah, so I mean, I had to kind of shift course after that, but that's when I first got into hot yoga. I don't even think I really did yoga, and I just went into hot yoga, and I was like,
okay,
I love this, the intensity, and it just allowed me to release so much. And then I went to Hollywood Market Yoga for a while.
Where, like, when was your first yoga class?
That is hard to find in the old memory bank. I want to say maybe 20, but where, you mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, like what
I
kind of
yoga? I
think
it was like a hot 26.
Okay.
I think it just had big bold red letters that said hot yoga, and I just saw it at the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay, ooh, let's do this. So yeah, and then I was hooked, and you know, just on and off. I mean, I've tore this knee again, and
oh my god,
yeah, so two surgeries. And
did you have to be in crutches or a cast?
Yeah, crutches, on the couch a lot.
And you're a dancer, so how did you deal with that?
It was hard. It's always hard for me, especially, to just like do nothing. I'm now suffering from some reoccurring shoulder injuries. I mean, I'm a massage therapist.
Okay.
So I am working like 30 hours a week, just hands on.
Oh, gotcha.
And, man, and now I've been doing that for 10 years. So I'm just like, ugh, my poor body. But yeah, something that I think that I didn't realize, though, going into hot yoga, trying to, like, with the intention of, like, rehabbing and, like, still, you know, remaining flexible and getting to, you know, fully express in, like, each pose, I didn't realize how much I hyperextended. So
that's huge.
Has translated into, like, what, like, all I'm, you know, dealing with in my joints, like my ligaments are just so overstretched from it. So I always try to, like, you know, caution people, be like, hey, like, hot yoga is great, but like, don't overdo it. You can really injure yourself.
When did you discover you were a hyperextender?
Well, when I started massaging, when I went to school, I think ever since then, when I started doing the body work and seeing how other people's bodies and joints were when they applied the pressure,
yeah,
even with proper body mechanics, I noticed, like, very early on, like, wow, like, I am bendy.
So you suddenly had that self-awareness. Someone didn't just point at you and be like, you're a hyperextender, be careful of this. You had to sort of discover it on your own.
Yeah, pretty much. And unfortunately, the hard way sometimes, you know, it really takes a lot of pressure and or puts a lot of pressure and tension on your joints when you're hyperextending and applying pressure. And yes. In yoga, that's a lot of moves, you know? So now my journey in hot yoga is really trying to like take it back. Like I'm not trying to go for it and, you know, just, fully extend like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was such a big release to like, oh, extend as much as I can, like really like get as much flexibility as I can in it. But now it's all about stability.
Stability, yeah. Strengthening. That's
such a metaphor for my life right now too.
Oh gosh. And like if you, so you're a yoga teacher also. So have
yes,
you seen
newly,
yoga?
I'm a baby.
Have you seen students in your class that you see the hyperextension?
Yes.
Are they, when do they, is this like a long term? I'm not a hyperextender. So I see those people doing deep stuff. I'm like, man, I want to be like them. And then years later, they'll be like, actually, I really injured myself that way. Yeah. What type of injuries is that? When do they feel that? How do they notice that?
Well, it's hard to notice when you're in it, right? When you're in the heat, and obviously heat, you know, allows for more pliability and elasticity in the muscle tissue. So it's afterwards, you know, for me, especially in the ligaments, it's like a very acute, sharp pain.
Ooh.
That I begin to feel. And it's, you know, just that overstretching of the ligament, which isn't like muscle tissue. It's harder. It's more,
yeah.
You know, dense. It connects bone to bone. So, and that is also much harder to repair. Those are the types of injuries that keep coming back when we're not, you know, fully aware, paying attention. So, it's such a journey.
As a massage therapist, do you see a lot of the same types of injuries with people that could potentially be yoga related?
You know, I don't know, because my clients who actually do go to yoga, they are the ones who typically feel the best. I mean, I don't think I deal a lot with that. Maybe when I'm working on like my fellow dancer friends, you know, but, you know, I think most people could use a little bit more flexibility in order to get to their end range of motion. But for me, sadly, that's not my issue, but it's still a challenge to, you know, work on what we, you know, what we need to work on.
What are you working on right now? You were saying you've got shoulder stuff. Is the shoulder stuff from massage therapy?
Honestly, it started with grief. It's, yeah.
Being, showing up in the body.
Yeah, and being in the fetal position last year now, for half the year, like literally more than I have ever been. And from that, I mean, it just really sliding my shoulder forward and then all strain in the posterior back muscles. And then on top of that, working on it. And then, I don't know, I've been going through really intense grief phase in my life and journey. And we just really hold on to so much in our muscles. And also when you go through that intense grief, like you don't want to do anything. Self-care is like, it's kind of just out of the question. It's like, how do I survive in this moment? It forces you so deep into the moment. And so I wasn't taking as good of care as my body as I usually do. And I think just from that, man, I feel like I've aged 10 years in the past 7 months.
Were you able to do yoga, go to yoga, still teach yoga when you're in those dark places?
I wasn't able to go to yoga. I mean,
let alone hold space as a teacher.
It was really hard. I had to take a good couple months off and just ease my way back into it. And still I had to take some classes off because it's so hard to show up. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think this is good to talk about. I mean, I don't know. And people probably don't know, so I'll just say it. I lost my boyfriend in a fatal helicopter crash last year in May, and it just, you know, turned my world upside down. And yeah, and like I say, it forces you into the moment so deeply, and sometimes it's hard to do anything else. So yeah, it took me a while to get back in the groove. I just started coming back to your class.
I saw you in yoga recently. I loved it.
It was, and that was so special. And it was such a wonderful way to honor him too. Like I said, I brought his mat. Mm-hmm. We would go to your classes together.
Yes.
I mean, then we would go jump in the river afterwards and in the winter. I mean, I miss those days. And now I'm finally, you know, able to show up at least partially mm-hmm. in that way again, or at least try. I'm trying.
For me, I haven't experienced that acute pain and grief. And so when I see other people suffering, I feel paralyzed. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And as a yoga teacher, I'll have like that class that you showed up to. There were multiple people who had also shown up to that class who were experiencing grief. Someone had lost a child. Somebody had gone through a terrible separation with their partner. And I remember you saying like, yeah, I shed a few tears. And like the whole front row was crying. Like that was a very emotional class for me just to bear witness to as a teacher. And I don't know what was in the ether, but for me, like the only thing I can do is just try to teach this yoga class, try to offer a touch. Do you have any advice for people maybe on the other side who want to be supportive, especially like not necessarily in the yoga space?
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much for asking that, because I have experienced that a lot, especially with the people who try to be there for me and support, and they just don't really know how to sometimes. And I feel like I was in that position before I experienced this. And even still, like, really, I'm not 100% sure how to show up for somebody. But I think it all starts with presence. It really does. Witnessing, bearing witness to someone's pain. And that's a lot to ask from. So a lot of times I feel like someone grieving can't really ask for that, you know. First of all, they don't really know what they need. I had no idea what I needed. And it was so crazy and so foreign, because I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty intuitive, you know. Anyway, so yeah, I would say just really being an ear to listen, a heart to be open with, and just letting them know that it is okay. It is okay to be at any place they are at in any moment, and not trying to change anything, not trying to fix anything. A big thing that I went through is a lot of people were, you know, trying to get me to look towards the future or, you know, say, oh, this all happened for a reason, or, you know, and some of these things can be a little insensitive. And I think a lot of people don't really realize, but it's like,
they're so uncomfortable. They're trying to say something positive.
Yeah,
but it comes across
poorly. But that's kind of a reflection of how, you know, maybe uncomfortable it is for them to experience pain. And it's not easy. It really isn't. It's not easy to ask for that too. So, yeah, it's.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a lot.
It is a lot. And I hope that's not too deep or sad, but
this is supposed to be a fun podcast, Adrienne. You just ruined it. I'm totally messing with you. I'm totally kidding. Are you teaching yoga now?
Yes, I am.
Where do you teach yoga?
I'm at the Rock Climbing Gym, Asana. It's okay. In Garden City. Yeah, I just teach one class a week. It's super chill, not very big classes, which is totally my jam. And I get to like really work one-on-one with a lot of students. And
Do you do adjustments?
Yeah, because I love adjustments.
As a massage therapist, I bet you give the best adjustments.
Well, you gave quite the amazing adjustment when I was in that one pose, and I don't even know the name of it. But
were you in pigeon pose or a forward fold?
It was a forward fold with a bent leg.
A single leg forward fold, like forehead to knee. Seated.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
and
good.
Yeah. Oh, and you like pressed my hip down, and I was like, wow. And just, I mean, the magic of touch and the healing touch is so important to me. I think it's such a vital part in just our human experience. So yeah, that was nice. I just had to
I got a massage recently from someone, and the massage felt like I felt so nurtured and cared for. And I asked this person massaging me, what did I ask him? Something about what he really enjoyed, his favorite thing about doing this for a living. Mm-hmm. And he said, honestly, that he sometimes struggles to connect with people. Mm. And he felt like massage therapy and offering that to someone else felt like a safe way to still connect and be intimate with people, but in a like a safe, healthy type of way.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. What do you love? What's your favorite thing about doing that?
I also love being able to connect with someone one-on-one. It's such, you know, an intimate setting, very, very personable. And, you know, it takes a lot for a client to get on the table. That takes a lot of vulnerability to put trust in sometimes a total stranger, you know. And, my practice has been developing so much, and I'm starting to love different things about body work. And now I'm starting to get more into energy work and Reiki and really start to utilize some of my other modalities that no one asks for, which are shiatsu and acupressure. And that's just pretty much applying pressure along like the meridians and channels of the body that carry our life force energy, which,
amazing,
you know, helps release blockages. But I love being able to influence somebody's like well-being, like physical, emotional, spiritual well-being, whatever it is. And yeah, provide a safe place for them to show up exactly how they are. And I just think the whole process is beautiful. We're all just like guiding each other home. And I love witnessing people's journeys and learning how I can help. Really, every single client I see, I learn something new. And I try to keep that open mindset too. Like I don't know everything, and I want to, and I'm on my way to learning as much as I can to, you know, facilitate the most amount of healing for someone. So I just like it all. That's a really hard question.
Okay, so let's say someone is listening to this right now and they are curious and intrigued about becoming a massage therapist. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a two-part question. Like, this will tell you that this is a good direction you should go in, and this will tell you that maybe it isn't for you. So if somebody like can't stand feet or nudity, maybe don't go in towards that. Like, now that you've been doing this, how long have you been doing this?
10 years.
Oh my gosh, 10 years. Yeah. So like, what would you say to that person?
Oh man, well, I think it's a great field to get into, and there's so many different like directions you can take with it too. I mean, you can find your niche, you can find your different recipe, but you have to be comfortable with the body, of course, you know, and
strangers, you have to be comfortable with strangers.
Yeah. I feel like you have to have a good intuitive sense too, because I mean, I get some weird vibes from some people, and over the years, I have really learned to like listen to that and trust that in me, because yeah, there's some off energy out there. And
can you give an example of how you handled a scenario where there was some off energy?
I mean, just really good boundaries. Mm. And, you know, I haven't been the best at that. I've had some experiences where I was very uncomfortable in session, but my nervous system response to that goes to freeze. So I just kind of like, you know,
yeah.
And then I process, and then, you know, then I have to communicate and be clear and be like, hey, I wasn't comfortable with that. And yeah, let's move forward.
I had a really weird thing happen today, actually. Mm. I had just gotten to the yoga studio, which also has a massage thing upstairs, and class is in session. I'm kind of cleaning up around the desk and putting things away. And I like hear the quietest sound ever. And there's a guy standing in the doorway with his hands in his pockets, which to me, body language shows like you're hiding something. Mm-hmm. And like, he was being so quiet, it felt like sneaky because he snuck up on me. So I turned around, I was like, hello. And he's like, I'm here for a massage. And I was just like, oh, okay. So then I checked like the schedule to make sure like he was on for the right day and time, and the massage therapist was there. And he's slowly taking his hand out of his pocket. And I think just PTSD or whatever, like in my head is like, oh my God, is he pulling out a gun? I'm American, so I'm used to gun stuff all the time. So I'm like, is he gonna shoot me? And he's just pulling out his phone so he can bring up his like massage appointment calendar thing. And then I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what that was.
You were probably picking up on a lot of his like nervous feelings.
Be nervous because his wife booked the massage for him and he was kind of like, I'm here for a massage.
Probably like his first one, didn't know what to expect. I mean, I get that a lot with newbies. I mean,
I'm like, why are you being so creepy? What are you hiding?
He was probably nervous, but that happens a lot. A lot of people don't know what to expect. And I find this a lot in males too. We offer couples massages at my spa, and a lot of the women will like drag their husbands and do a couples massage to finally like experience it, know what it feels like. And then they're hooked. They're like, oh my God, that was the best thing ever. But that's another thing that you have to really be good at in this field is knowing how to make people feel comfortable, reassuring them that they are okay, that this is all fine, it's professional, like you're not going to die or or really hurt in pain. A lot of people think that, you know, deep tissue has to really be painful, but it doesn't. That's a big misconception.
How did you decide to get into yoga?
How did I decide?
Yeah, like were you already doing, you were already obviously doing massage therapy.
You know, they both started at like the same time, really. Oh. Because it was after my failed first attempt at college.
Okay.
And the dance team injured myself. And then I was like, oh, well, what am I going to do now? And that's when I decided to go to massage school. And that's, when I started doing yoga.
But then yoga teacher training.
Oh, the yoga teacher training when I got certified.
That's what I meant.
Oh, sorry.
Can you tell me a bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So I went to Costa Rica, and that was, I mean, it was just a long time coming. I wanted to get educated in that for so long, really just to build my practice and then also be able to extend that knowledge to my clients because really that helps so much with massage. They work so well together. And just the consistency of stretching like between appointments and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously I fell in love with it and had this great opportunity from the get-go at the climbing gym. And so I was just all over it. And
were you a climber there already? How did it fall into your lap?
Yeah. And I was actually going to massage there. They have a therapy room there. And they just opened I guess it's been like, 4 or 5 years now since they've opened. But when they first opened, I was going to work there. But then, man, my workload at the spa is so much. I've been maxed out for quite some time, and unfortunately I can't do much more. So that didn't quite work out, but I've always gone to the gym and always love going back. And I was so excited when I was telling the owners about, me going to yoga school and I'm going to come back and I'm going to work here. I pretty much told them I'm going to work there. So
awesome. What days do you teach?
Tuesdays at 6 p.m.
At Asana.
Asana Rock Climbing Gym. Yes.
Cool. What style of class?
It's a vinyasa flow. It's more of a creative flow, though. Like anything is welcome.
Cool.
I love just giving my students just recreational range.
Recreational? Recreational?
Creational.
Creation. What does that mean?
Is that a word?
It is.
I just made up a word.
Creational range.
Comes from the Adri Dictionary. Creational. Creatrix.
Creational yoga with Adri. I have a friend
who's actually called yoga motion, but that works too.
Okay, yoga motion. Technically. I like that. And I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh, man. And I told you earlier, I'm going to be such a disappointment in this area. I can't say much in that department because I'm so in my zone when I go to yoga, and I'm like,
do you just have your blinders on? You're like, you're in and you're out.
Like, I don't like overhear very well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have that that.
Do you have like a funny story from teaching yoga?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, funny as in like forgetting some of the poses, and that's just embarrassing. I mean,
that's normal. That's totally normal.
Teaching yoga is hard. It really is. I didn't know how hard it really was.
It takes a lot out of you too, which surprises me.
You have to think of so many things at the same time, and yeah, trying to pay attention to the students as well. So, but yeah, sorry, I can't help in that department. I'm no fun there.
What about overheard at massage?
Oh, well, that's another story. Let's see. Overheard, man, now I wish I had some time to think about this one. I probably will think of some good stories afterwards, but right now, oh, the pressure, I don't know.
No worries. If something comes to mind, we'll just bring you back so you can share.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, I'm sure we could talk about a lot more.
Okay, well, our time's up. So any last things you want to share or plug? Like, where can people get a massage from you? You just shared where people can take yoga from you, which is Asana Climbing Gym Tuesdays at?
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m.
Yes. And unfortunately this year, I'm not taking any new clients.
Oh, so, good for you.
But as far as my energy offerings, energy healing, I would love to start taking new clients in that department.
Oh.
Yeah, really trying to just practice on more people, you know, different kinds and types. Everybody is welcome. And I just want to get the practice. So I'm doing a promotional half off your first energy healing session with me. And you can find me at TuneInTouch on Instagram and Facebook, or TuneInTouch at Gmail. Yeah, you can get a hold of me.
Can you spell that?
Yes, that would be T.
Tune.
Tune. TuneInTouch. Yeah, I can spell. TuneInTouch. Yeah, I mean, really just focusing on, you know, tuning in with our body and getting in touch with our wellness. So
awesome. Thank you so much for coming on, Adri. I adore you, Christina. Thanks for being open, likewise. Sharing, honest. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.